This is from the website vaccineimpact.com, and it's found in an article. PhD researcher Judy Mikovits, M-I-K-O-V-I-T-S, an expert on viruses, explains the coronavirus and reveals information you are not likely to hear in the corporate media. And this is what the link inside, this is what she's saying. Well, actually, it doesn't go to the actual interview, but it goes to a very detailed report by John Thomas, Health Impact News, I guess based on her talk, and in it, there's a lot in here. In it is this, let me see, news report on her arrest. Or actually, it's not, it's just a picture of it. It's interesting. Okay, here's I think she's talking. In this article, it says, destruction of Dr. Mikovits' work and career, and this looks like this is her talking. And this is from that healthimpactnews.com.
What I lost in all of this is hard to fathom. What I lost in all of this is hard to fathom and really difficult for me to describe. For my entire life, since I was 10 years old, it's been my passion to cure cancer and other chronic diseases. So I not only lost economically everything I'd worked for, I've lost my ability to live my passion. So I no longer get to do what I've spent more than 40 years doing, just as the gift that I was given to pursue, and I always thought I'd be able to do this, and that nobody could steal my integrity or my life's work. And in fact, I have lost my reputation and my reputation of impeccable science and integrity. And that is perhaps the most painful realization of this whole adventure.
Now I'm going to go to YouTube and see if any of her interviews are there. She seemed very upset, but she's holding her book that she published with another person about all of this. But I'm going to put in her name in YouTube, which is also unreliable because they pull things out they don't like. Mitovits, and I'll put down virus with her name. And let's see if anything is allowed on YouTube. Well, here's something. 2 weeks ago, Dr. Judy Mikovits, American researcher on coronavirus from FTW Live. It's 2 hours long. Okay, let's see what that is. Okay, and this is from, let's see, B-R-O, capital J, capital S-T-E-W, space, capital K-J-V. And it's its description is, researcher and virologist Dr. Judy Mikovits discusses the coronavirus 19, vaccines, health, even a behind-the-scene look at the CDC, and much more. So I'm going to try to get this whole thing. There's a website on the...
Lisa, can you intro Dr. Judy for us?
Frameingtheworld.com. There's a website on the screen.
Is going to be... She is a honest and unbiased authority. She has a PhD in both molecular biology and biochemistry, as well as a BA in chemistry. Dr. Judy Mikovits has worked in a level 4 bioweapons lab. She's done extensive research into retroviruses. So she has such a colorful background, and I want herself to kind of enlighten us on all her diversity in her work.
Dr. Judy, can you hear us now?
Here.
All right, one more time. Can you hear us now?
Yes, I can.
Okay, perfect. Thank you so much. Can you go into, we just wanted to have you give our audience, who may not be familiar with you, just your kind of expand on the background that Lisa was giving for us?
Sure. I got my PhD in biochemistry and molecular biology in 1991. My PhD thesis really changed the paradigm of HIV/AIDS in this country. It was called HIV Latency and Monocytes. And what it basically said was, at a time when we let the, you know, when patients' T cells and their adaptive immune response was, you know, going in the toilet because of the damage done by the infection, that actually the damage was done by another part of the immune system, the monocyte macrophage, and it was that inflammation, that inability to control the flame and the fire, which was driving the pathogenesis, the disease development. So you could be infected with HIV and not get AIDS if you simply controlled the monocyte macrophage. And we developed several drugs, immunomodulating compounds that were biological response modifiers, including peptide T. I worked at the National Cancer Institute for 20 years doing this work from 1980 until 2001 when I moved to industry. And there I worked in industry looking at epigenetics, looking at gene expression. It's not the blueprint. It's not your genetics. It's the dysregulation of the gene expression that contributes to disease. And again, that plays a key part in the infection of SARS coronavirus 2 versus the disease. So the whole idea is what's being perpetrated now as COVID-19 or coronavirus infectious disease 2019. The key in how it's being misrepresented is you can be infected without having disease. And if you're infected without having disease, you have immunity that can help others.
Okay, so Judy, it's such an honor to talk to you. I've listened to so many of your podcasts, your lectures at Autism One, and different interviews, and I always learn something new from you. So what I want to jump into is if you could tell our audience, what is zoonosis, and why the bat theory, bat soup theory, is not plausible, and go into that a little bit.
Well, zoonosis is kind of what the word means, a zoo, and then it jumps species. So you take a pathogen that is not a pathogen, that is a symbiotic, that lives comfortably, let's just say, in bats. The viruses that live comfortably in bats, and they don't bother the bats, and the bats don't care that they're there. And those viruses, when they jump species, they cause devastating disease. So the zoonosis in HIV/AIDS was a monkey virus that jumped to humans. And so in this case with the coronavirus that came from bats, usually what you need, bat viruses just would not infect human cells. The differences between the immune systems are so great that you need an intermediate host, they call it. You need another small animal, a civet. I don't even know what a civet is. It's a monkey with a tail that crawls around the ground, C-I-V-E-T. So you need another animal host in order to attenuate the virus, in order to change the virus, to teach it to infect an immune system that's closer to humans. So all animals, you know, and so why the theory of the bat virus just jumping from uncooked soup in a seafood market in Wuhan, China, into humans makes absolutely no sense, because usually and essentially in all the latest pandemics, the intermediate wasn't another small animal, as we're told. The intermediate was an animal cell line or animal tissues repeatedly grown. So what we did, and this is why I mentioned you mentioned my 1999. In 1999, I worked at USAMRID, which is the U.S. Army Research Institute of Infectious Disease, there at Fort Detrick, Maryland, right next to the National Cancer Institute. And what I did at the time was two things. I taught the Ebola virus, Ebola Zaire, which was a highly pathogenic strain. My job was to teach it to infect human cells without killing them, because we can't study a virus unless we can grow it. We can't understand how it causes disease in an animal unless we can grow enough copies of it. And at that time, the Ebola virus, and I have to admit it was somewhat scary to do this research, but at that time, the Ebola virus was just killing, just destroying the cells. They'd blow apart almost instantly. You can't study that if that happens. So I had my entire career had been tissue culture, animal tissue culture, human tissue culture, grow various cancers in the laboratory in order to study how they develop and what causes them and what parts of the immune system are dysregulated. So I did finally, the way I would do it is you keep feeding, literally just keep feeding the virus more cells until one day a cell doesn't die. And then you can grow that cell perpetually using various growth factors that we do in the lab. It's not difficult in order to study the virus. So we did that. And then the second thing we did was this was 1999, we took Ebola Zaire, which was the highly pathogenic strain, and we compared it to the Ebola Reston, Virginia strain. Why they had a strain of Ebola from Africa in Reston, Virginia, I don't even want to touch. But at any rate, it sounds like a Wuhan lab next to a seafood market to me. But at any rate, we looked at the difference. So we infected primary human cells with the pathogenic strain, immune cells, and then with the non-pathogenic strain. And what we saw was a signature of disease, these inflammatory mediators. And I know you've seen that in press, how this SARS-2 COVID-19 causing virus, it has an inflammatory signature of disease. And if you, the susceptible individual, don't have that inflammatory signature, doesn't matter how much coronavirus or SARS COV2 is in your body, you won't get sick. You're immune. You make an immune response. You mount an immune response. You have antibodies. You make alpha interferon. You suppress the virus as an immune system will do. So that's part of the big fraud and frustration in all of this is the way they're testing, what they're looking at, and in fact, how they're saying, oh, this virus just popped up overnight and from one woman in a seafood market in Wuhan. I don't know how the bat soup comes into a seafood market. I can't get there. But at any rate, a seafood market with improperly cooked food, and in within 2 months' time, a virus jumps to 110 countries. That's really not an ingested virus. That's an injected virus. And I'm saying that coronavirus is an injected.
Oh, did we lose you?
No, I'm still here.
Okay, so Judy, with that being said, and you're saying it's an injected virus, do you think that the rollout of flu shots has anything to do with that? And we see some articles being published that talk about viral interference, that you have a much greater susceptibility to COVID-19 if you have received the flu vaccine. So do you think there was anything different with the flu vaccine that came out just recently? As well as if you are familiar with that Nature article that's gotten a lot of publicity on maybe alternative media, and they have like a banner across it and saying this article is actually being used to prove that this virus was engineered. And it talks about it was a Nature article, engineered bat virus stirs debate over risky research. So if you can kind of touch on both those things, the viral interference with the flu shots themselves maybe being causal, and that Nature article.
Yeah, so absolutely the viral interference. What that means is that when you get, that's a scientific term, when you get the influenza vaccines, let's make it really clear on which shots. In some cases, the influenza, the immune response to influenza can actually spread such that you have an immune response in a good way to other families of viruses. But in the case of a 2000 and I think 17-18 in the military, they actually studied the flu shot and showed that the viral interference promoted coronavirus infection, enhanced it by 36%. That is, if you got an influenza shot in 2017 and 18 when this paper was published and they looked at the military who are mandated to get these shots, and in those cases, they were, you know, 36% more likely to get a coronavirus infection with the flu shot. So it was promoting the infection. There are several other papers from other influenzas, whether inactivated influenzas, recombinant, that showed that people who got vaccines, including and not limited to influenza vaccines, were far more likely, 4.4 times more likely, especially children, to get the disease. That is, have that powerful immune response, that flame that could not be controlled, that the vaccine promoted the disease, not necessarily the infection, but the disease. So what do we think of with that 2015 Nature paper? It's pretty clear there, and many virologists, not just myself, at the time were saying these things can happen all the time. That we're told when we do this research in the lab, and I was told in 1999, what I was doing was trying to attenuate in a good way, weaken the virus, learn enough about the virus so that we could develop you know, therapies and vaccines to prevent, you know, the pathogenic strain from killing people. And that's a laudable goal. And, you know, I bought it hook, line, and sinker, and I did that research. So when in 2015, you know, at the time it was even outlawed in the United States between 2013 and 2017, institutions were not allowed to do what they called gain of function studies. So if you think about the study I just told you, I taught a virus that wouldn't have evolved to infect human cells for decades, if not century, and I taught it in a few months in a laboratory to infect human cells. That's a gain of function study. That was outlawed because of the risky research. And when we do that, we take those cell lines and we send them around the world. And we use those cell lines in manufacturing many biological therapies, but most prominently vaccines. The cell line that was used in that 2015 study discussed, and there's another study it referenced, was called Vero monkey kidney cells. That's the same cell line from which HIV, you know, AIDS evolved from SIV, and yes, there have been numerous reports of HIV sequences. So you can get recombinant activity in the cell line when you infect it with another virus, then several different viruses, if not many viruses, are expressed. And when they're expressed, they can recombine and cause a very much more dangerous, not attenuated at all, vaccine. So, or virus species in a cell line that grows without, you know, it grows in a laboratory. We grow hundreds of liters of these cell lines at a time, and we save them and we use them to manufacture theoretically therapies, but they can also be released from laboratories. They've acquired the ability to be contagious, that is, spread in a way that they wouldn't spread naturally. So I don't like to use the word engineered because, you know, I simply culture a cell over and over again, and I call it the Heisenberg uncertainty principle of biology. Every time you culture a virus, you change it. And we don't know what those changes are. We don't know what will evolve, what dormant virus activated when you infected with SARS, when you infected the Vero monkey kidney cell line with SARS number one, the severe acute respiratory syndrome virus, and allowed it to gain function by infecting this cell line that it previously did not affect. We don't know what changes happen that allow us to see it. But I don't like to use the word engineered because it implies we thought about it and we cut and pasted a virus together. And that's not how it works in the laboratory. We have no idea what's going on in the laboratory. And that's why these studies should never be done again. And that's why theoretically it was outlawed in the country from 2013, and you'd have to ask Francis Collins why suddenly in 2017 he lifted that outlaw, or why you know, the NIAID under Tony Fauci funded these studies in Wuhan, China, with the University of North Carolina, and with a Harvard researcher, where they sent this cell line between the labs, you know, via the mail, via researchers. I don't even know how they sent it, but we send it via the mail. When